Welcome to Become an Idol. I'm Dr. Robin Sargent, owner of Idol Courses. This is the place where newbies come to learn and veterans share their knowledge.
I have here with me today, Alyssa Coiro, and she is an Idol success story from the Idol Academy. But there's so much more to you, Alyssa, than just that. So will you start off by doing a better job of introducing yourself and giving us a little bit of your background?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. This is very, very cool for me because I listen to this podcast a lot. So this is awesome. I was a teacher for 6 years. So I started out as a high school social studies teacher in Brooklyn, New York. I taught in a charter school there for 2 years. And then I ended up getting a tenure track position at a public high school out on Long Island. So I did that for about another 3.5-4 years. And somewhere in there, COVID happened. And I just kind of found myself getting the itch, wanting to do something different for a variety of reasons. And that's kind of how I found my way into instructional design.
Okay. So I want to get even more specific. So you said COVID happened and then you found your way into instructional design. What did that actually look like? Did you start Googling or do you just like, is there anything else that I can do with the skills that I have, or what did that path actually look like?
Yeah, sure. So during that first school year back from the really wonky year that was COVID, where everybody was kind of at home. So the 2021 to 2022 school year, I just noticed a lot of shifts in how the school year felt, what teaching was like at that point in time. And I just felt for like a variety of reasons, I needed something different. And funny enough, where all good research happens, I found myself on TikTok. And I stumbled upon a Daphne Gomez TikTok before I even knew who she was. And she was talking about transitioning out of the classroom and discussing something called instructional design. So that's kind of how I found the teacher career coach course and her podcast. And I spent a lot of time listening to that. And that's how I found you and discovered Idol, because you were a guest on there. So that was the first I had heard of instructional design. I had no idea what it was before that. So I listened to you speak. I learned about Idol. And I actually decided to do Daphne's course first so I could kind of get the ball rolling. So I want to say in like maybe February or April of 2022, I joined the teacher career coach course, and she had a community board on there for different career paths. And I was poking around a few of them and found myself spending a lot of time on the instructional design one. And there were a ton of teachers on there discussing different programs. There's a lot of options out there, but the consistent option was Idol. A lot of us were talking about potentially doing Idol. And at that point, I had done a lot of YouTube University. I had listened to a lot of different voices, Devlin Peck and people like that. And I felt pretty confident that instructional design could be a great next step for me. So there were a bunch of women on that message board who actually decided, you know, we were all going to do Idol together, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. So I started Idol in June. I think I was cohort 11, I want to say.
Yes, you were.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great. Cohort 11. And we did it together. And that was super cool because we got to ask each other the questions that like, you felt kind of silly maybe asking somebody who knew a lot, or, you know, run ideas off each other or cry to each other. It was just a really cathartic group of women. And we're still in touch to this day. We do monthly happy hours and we update each other on where we're at. So that's kind of been my journey into the instructional design space.
How many people enrolled together? How many is in that group that you just mentioned?
So out of the gate, I want to say that there are about 8 of us roughly.
Wow.
And there's still I want to say like consistently on a, if not weekly or daily, like a weekly or semi-weekly basis, there's about six of us who are actively chatting back and forth. Yeah.
Did all six of you reach your goals?
Out of the eight of us that started? Yeah. All of us, the ones who finished Idol and really stuck with it. Yeah. We're all doing it.
Oh my gosh. How cool is that? Just like the community. And then you bring like a smaller community and a bigger community. And then you just hold each other accountable and you all just like soared together. That's amazing. I didn't even know that piece of it.
Yeah.
I love that part. Okay. So you're like, okay, we got a group together. We're going to do it. And you all enrolled. And then what was that journey like for you? Like, how long did it take you before you're ready to start applying and interviewing? And tell me that.
Yeah. So it's no secret to anybody who is in Idol that Idol is effectively endless. Like you can really go, there's no, I'm not sure if there's like ever a finishing Idol. And I knew that. And I felt good. I had to get comfortable with the idea that I wasn't going to like finish Idol because I got pretty goal oriented. But my goal for the 8 weeks was to really commit to the Do It Messy and to really have a portfolio. That was like my goal. That was something that I felt would be tough to navigate on my own, especially learning how to use some of the authoring tools like Storyline. I really wanted that assistance. So moving through those 8 weeks was really about the portfolio for me. And I was able to successfully pretty much get it finished up. I think the only thing I didn't have in there, maybe at the end of the 8 weeks, was the Storyline course. But the Storyline course, I was able to learn those tools on my own using the Storyline. I think it's like Idol for Storyline for Idols.
Yeah.
There we go. Storyline for Idols. That's what it's called. I kind of did that on my own. And in a weekend, I was able to build my first Storyline course, which was super cool. That is to this day, the Storyline course that's in my portfolio. And I still go back to that course. I had to use Storyline for the first time in a while, like 2 months ago. And I went right back through Idol. So still using it.
So you built your portfolio within 8 weeks, which is pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And then did you start applying right away after? Okay. Tell me about what that was like.
Yeah. Yeah. So funny enough, the Storyline course that I built that wasn't in there, I guess, technically at the end of the 8 weeks, I did start applying towards the end of Idol, which I guess would have been like early August or like end of July more so, since I was in the June cohort. And my goal originally was to land a position by the time the school year started, which was definitely ambitious. I knew that up front. that was the dream. And I actually went through the interview process throughout August with a company, and I was offered the day before school started. And yeah, literally, it was like a movie. The day before school started, I was at their corporate office in New York. It was like the dream. I, you know, this big fancy building, and I interviewed and they offered me, and it was all really exciting. And actually the Storyline course that like I have in there is the project that I did for that interview process. So that was like a really good framing tool, kind of talk about building the car with the wheels, you know, being thrown on. But I ended up turning that job down because it just didn't feel like an overall fit. The company culture, it was a feeling when I was in the office, it just didn't feel like a fit for me. And the pay wasn't quite where I was hoping it to be. And that was something really important to me as I was leaving the classroom. Like, pay was a big motivating factor. So I ended up leaving that on the table. I started the school year. I want to say I made it to the final interview for an additional two companies before I ended up getting the role that I accepted and was offered, which happened in December. So I left the classroom in the middle of the year, which is certainly not ideal, but I was able to get a contract position with Lowe's, and that was super cool for me. It was being in that industry was awesome. And Lowe's is a big name company. It was contract, which wasn't something I was comfortable with out of the gate, but ended up being a really great opportunity because I could learn and be exposed to a lot of different projects and types of assignments without the commitment of needing to be there forever. And I stayed with Lowe's up until my contract ended in October of this past year. So almost a full year with them, which was great.
And so are you in a full-time role now, or did you stay in the contract world?
Yes. Yeah, so I am in a full-time role now. So I am with, I think they're the biggest construction company in the country, which is really cool. I'm in a full-time instructional design position with them. And it's different from my Lowe's role, not just because it's full-time, but just the nature of what I build with my current position. So when I was with Lowe's, I was on their pro outside sales team. So their structure was pretty unique. Every sector of their company had their own little instructional design, learning and development group. And so I was kind of building all of the trainings for their outside sales teams, the salespeople who would sell to like the big apartment buildings and universities and things like that. So it was a lot of like soft skills. Some of it was more specific, like construction based or specific to Lowe's. I mean, it was a lot of video editing, funny enough. So I would like build the storyboard, and then I ended up doing a lot of video stuff, which was new, but really cool to be able to do it. And in my current position, I'm working out of their headquarters. So they have 40 different offices across the country, and I'm on a team of about two to three other designers who make all of the major training needs for all 40 other business units.
Oh, wow.
As well as like the whole company. So it's big. Yeah.
And what kind of things do you do in your current role? I know you said you're at Lowe's, you did a lot of videos and those soft skills. What kind of things do you focus on now? I mean, you got the whole company, so largest construction company in the United States. And so do you just touch up all kinds of different things or what?
Yeah, the short answer is all kinds of different things. So I've been on board since November. So I'm still learning all the different things that we have our hands in. But in my time with the company so far, I've built an insurance and bonding course, which, what is that? Not sure. But I built that out in Rise. So that was kind of cool. And I also just finished the annual compliance, ethics and compliance training that everyone has to take, you know, about not accepting bribes and things like that. So that was a storyline course. And that's why I recently pulled up Idle. But all kinds of stuff, especially because the company is so large. We're outside of the US too, but, you know, headquarters in my role mainly services the US and Canada. There's laws that change all the time. A project that I'm going to be starting soon is with a law change that came down in California that has to do with workplace violence. So I'm going to have to make a course about that law. So I think the nature of the work will have a lot of variety, which is something that I'm really excited for. I'm somebody who kind of needs that change and to be able to reach different goals and do different things. I have a tendency to get bored easily. So I like that there's a lot going on.
I resonate with that as well. Like you don't want to board Robin. I get it. So I make trouble when I get bored. So yes, I hear you, right? It's nice to have, you know, the variety in our work projects. So what was something that surprised you? I mean, when you landed the role with Lowe's, what was something that surprised you about what you learned about instructional design and how to do the job, but then, you know, it's always something different when you actually work for an organization because everybody does things differently. What was something that surprised you?
Oh, that's a good question. I think my understanding, well, this one is silly. I'll start with the silly one first. Yeah. Before I started working in my first position, and you're learning about instructional design, you're learning about these mythical subject matter experts and who these people are. And they're just like these holders of knowledge. And in my brain, these were like people who were professional SMEs. Like they kind of like came in for a project and they just knew all the things and they were kind of like assisting us. And that was their job. And I learned very quickly that that is not the case. They are people who usually work for the company. And they are like, if you're making a training for engineers, they're probably an engineer who are just helping you on this project to give you what you need. So that was kind of a silly one. But overall, I think I was just surprised by the variety of the process, how every instructional design role really is different. At my role in Lowe's, at first I wasn't doing any of the storyboarding. I was just picking up storyboards that someone else on my team had done and doing just the development. And then in other projects, then I would do the storyboarding and the development. Like, there's a lot of variety on how it can look. And then I had no say in like the actual implementation of it. My manager would take those and put them on the LMS. So you're on all different spectrums of ADDIE, depending on what your role is. And then at my current position, because I guess we're responsible for so much learning, I'm kind of the sole instructional designer who does the whole process, with the exception of what training gets picked. You know, my manager, they do the analysis and hand off the training to us. And then it's really like my baby from start to finish. So I think I didn't really understand the variety that existed, but I'm really glad it does, because I think it offers everyone the opportunity to really lean into their strengths.
What did you find are your strengths? What are the things that you like to do the most?
I like to do the development the most.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to me, because when I was teaching, I hated making lesson plans. That really tracks historically for me. Yeah, I like the excitement of figuring it out and making the little characters and scenarios and coming up with creative ways to guide a learner through a course. That I feel is the most exciting part for me.
Yeah, I like to describe it this similar to like, I'll do the design because I'll eat my vegetables, but I'm really excited about dessert, which for me is development. So
yeah. So I love that.
Yeah, eat your vegetables. And then I bet a lot of people are curious, Alyssa, what are some of the things that were like, I don't know, your breaths of fresh air moving from the classroom to the corporate world? Like, what are the things that you're just like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted, plus more, or just name them. You can go to the bathroom when you're eating. Anything else?
Oh, yes. At the top of you took it right out of my mouth. Like, just the autonomy of being a human adult is really quite beautiful. Being able to eat when I want or use the restroom when I want. But more than anything, it was work-life balance. It actualized the things that I really was looking for when I left the classroom. So I feel really good about that. So again, like for me, the top two things were the work-life balance and then getting that like that pay bump. And it truly has been both of those things for me. I feel like I'm paid really well now, and I feel like I have great benefits and great work-life balance. If I need to go to the dentist in the middle of the day, I can just go and it's okay. I just block it off on my calendar. You know, if I want to go for a walk, I can do that. It offers just exactly what I wanted. It met my expectations for sure.
Are you fully remote or you do more of a hybrid?
I'm fully remote, which has been really nice. And funny enough, my current position, when I applied to it, it said that it was on site. And I was like, okay, we'll roll with it. And then by the time I got to like the second round, the position was hybrid. And I'm like, oh, that's even better. And then by the end, I realized that my whole team, like the group of us beyond just the instructional designers, like all of learning and development, we're all across the country. And so it doesn't really make sense for anybody to be in the office full time, because you wouldn't have anyone to directly collaborate with. So we're all fully remote, all 20 something of us. And I can go in if I want. We have a really awesome office in Hudson Yards. So the option is there for me, but it's really nice to have that option.
Do you ever go
in? Not often. No. I was just going to say, I don't often go in, but when I do, it's really nice.
For the Christmas party, you might go in.
Yeah, there we go.
There was one thing I just want to go back to, Alyssa, and that is I think that people might be curious about this too, which is you transitioned from teaching in the middle of the school year. What did that look like? What did you have to do to make that happen? And did you have to break a contract or what was with that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Definitely wasn't what I had wanted to do, but knew I needed to do. And I would say to any teacher who's struggling with that idea to let go of it, because I think so much of teaching, there's a lot of like guilt associated with it. Like, you know, you stay for the kids and like, you just feel like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. But at the end of the day, it is a job. And if something were to happen to you and you couldn't make it into the classroom, like you would get replaced so fast, like, and the kids would be okay. They would adapt and it would be okay. And I think I just had to weigh it for myself and determine that that was what I needed and the rest would fall into place. So what it looked like for me is I kept it very close to the chest, like my chest. My close friends in my department, who are still my very good friends to this day, they knew I was, you know, interviewing and trying to find my way out. But my greater department and my boss really didn't know until I had made the decision. And that day when I knew like I was going to put in my resignation, I asked to speak with my supervisor. I spoke to him and let him know. And he ultimately, I was lucky, he was very supportive. We had had a personal relationship even outside of just teaching. I coached at my school and he was really involved in the sports too. So he was very supportive of me, which I really appreciate. And overall, I basically just had to take a deep breath, send an email to HR and let them know. And they were fairly flexible, which I also appreciated. I think originally the plan was I was going to notify them. I notified them, I want to say late November or very early December. And the hope was I would teach up until that winter break at like right before Christmas. And then that once I went on that break, then I would kind of start the Lowe's job. It turned out that Lowe's needed me to start in about 2 weeks, as most jobs do. And we had to move up the timeline, but thankfully my district was flexible. They were able to pull up somebody from the middle school who I think was doing a leave replacement down there. And it ended up being a really unique situation and pretty great for the woman who replaced me, because she was able to shadow me for a week. I kind of offered to do whatever I could to bring her on board. So she watched my classes. She got to meet the kids ahead of time. So never ideal to have to leave in the middle of the year, but it worked out the best it could, I guess.
Yeah. And I just wonder too, and I'm just thinking about what people might be asking, Alyssa. Now you got that first job offer like the day before class. Mm-hmm. Did you consider at that point, like, well, I'm already getting one. Should I just like, you know, put in my resignation now? Or what was there some kind of fear around that? Or what did you think? Would you have done it differently if you knew now what you...
Oh, that's a good question.
What you knew now? There you go. There it is.
There it is. You know, no, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't. And it's just not my personality to, I like knowing what lies ahead, kind of. And it wasn't in my nature to leave the job if I didn't have that financial security, like right there. So I also was fortunate enough, I will say, to be in a position where it wasn't dire straits from like a mental health standpoint. Like I definitely know that there are teachers who like, they need to go and they need to go now. And you know that, of course, everybody has to make their own decision. But for me personally, I knew that I could wait and I was comfortable waiting, and it kind of worked out that way. But yeah, there were definitely hard times in that little 4 or 5 month span. There was another job that was also in the construction industry. Was another like big company, weirdly enough. I don't know why that industry has been really prevalent for me, but it was like a learning manager position, and it was going to be for more money than I was like, as a teacher, I thought I'd ever see. And I made it to the last round and I really felt good about it. I was so excited for it. And they called me during like a break in between two of my classes, where I went out to the parking lot and I spoke to them and I found out I didn't get the job. And I literally sat in my car and I cried. And then I looked at my watch and I said, I have to go teach now. And I kind of got it together and went up and did it. So as every teacher knows, you have those moments. So, you know, that did happen. There were ups and downs, but I ultimately knew that my comfort level was I stay until I have the job I feel excited about and I feel like is a good fit. And it ended up working out, thankfully.
I love that. I love that you even stuck with your own intuition. And I think that sometimes when people move into new career spaces, they forget to listen to themselves. They think, oh, I just need to move out. I just needed to kind of take any role that comes to me in this new career field. But I love that you're part of the story, Alyssa, is that like it didn't feel right for me, or that wasn't in alignment with my own values or how I work. And that I think ultimately paid off for you. I think that is exactly why you are, where you found the role at Lowe's. And then that kind of catapulted you to your full-time role in the construction sector. And I love that you listen to yourself. And so my final question for you is, what is your best and final advice for those who want to become an idol?
Ooh. Well, before I even answer that, I want to say just to your last point, I think a lot of what gave me the confidence to do that and to think like, you know what, this might not be the right fit, but the next opportunity will come, is really the mentors that Idol had. Like I specifically, like Mandy Brown was one that I built a really great relationship with, and she was super supportive. And just like knowing that we have so much to give and so many valuable skills as former teachers, to not feel pressed in those situations. So yeah, some of it was probably in me naturally and my nature, but I think a lot of it too had to do with the support that Idol gave. So I just want to give the mentors and coaches their flowers there. As far as advice, I would say imposter syndrome is so silly. I need to like scream that from the rooftops. I can't tell you like how many times in those interview processes that I was going through, where I was interviewing on a panel or one-on-one with, you know, managers or directors of learning and development. And these people that like on paper were so intimidating and so accomplished in the field that I wanted to be in. And I can't tell you how many times they said to me like, wow, you know a lot about this, or like, you know more than I do, or it sounds like you know, and it happened all the time. And that was the moment where I realized like, man, this imposter syndrome is so silly, because I felt like an imposter. Like I was flying by the seat of my pants. I was doing as much as I could, but at the end of the day, I hadn't had that title instructional designer yet. And so to have that validated back to me by other people was really cool. I think what people don't realize who are trying to become an instructional designer, or maybe they're thinking about leaving the classroom, is I think our perception is everybody who has the job that they have now, like if they're outside of education and they're working in the corporate space, that they have had as much training and preparation to do the job that they're doing as you have to be a teacher. And that is just so simply not true. Like to be a teacher, you have to take all these exams and you have to get a master's, and there's so many steps, and you are like truly a subject matter expert in what you do. The roles that people have outside of the classroom, like a lot of times their company needs them to fill this space and to take on this thing. And so they kind of like end up there, and they have no formal training to be in that specific situation. Like a lot of people who work in learning development specifically, that is how they found themselves there. And so I think if you do something like Idol, you are already so far ahead of people who have kind of just pieced it together themselves. And that makes the best team, because they have the experience that you might feel a little shaky on, but you have like some more of that textbook knowledge, and it really can take you very far. So I would say stop feeling like you don't know what you're doing, because no one knows what they're doing, and we're all just doing our best.
Perfect. You don't need to say another word. That's it. You've got the quote line and everything. Elizabeth, this was such a pleasure. I learned so much even about your own story, and I felt inspired by just hearing you talk about honoring your own value system, staying in alignment with your own intuition. And I love hearing where you've actually ended up now. And thank you so much for coming on the Become an Idol podcast.
Thank you so much. This was great.
Thank you so much for listening. You can find the show notes for this episode at idolcourses.com. If you like this podcast and you want to become an instructional designer, an online learning developer, join me in the Idol Courses Academy, where you'll learn to build all the assets you need to land your first instructional design job, early access to this podcast, tutorials for how to use the e-learning authoring tools, templates for everything course building, and paid instructional design experience opportunities. Go to idolcourses.com/academy and enroll or get on the wait list. Now get out there and build transcendent courses.